So the role of a music director within the context of Hillsong Church has evolved a little bit over the years. Nige, do you want to maybe just tell us what do we do as an MD? What is our purpose? And then we'll talk about how it's evolved over the years.
Yeah, sure. So I guess the purpose of the music director is to bring direction and clarity to the music, to the rehearsal, to the worship set. I guess the need of a music director evolved, I guess came about initially just the need for better communication on the stage. As our stages perhaps got bigger, or we tried to do more within our services, the need for better communication arose, and hence the role of the music director.
So normally we run a lot of different services here at Hillsong. The MD has, everyone on stage has in-ears, so sometimes the MD has a microphone. Other services, it's smaller and there's no microphone. So how would we MD a service if there's no microphone in front of us?
I think the music director will be the point person that the band looks to.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, a drummer counts a song in, but the music director is perhaps the music director will look at the drummer, says, "Yeah, let's start the song." They will, with hand signals or head movements or whatever, will signal different parts of the song if they're not getting that direction from the worship leader. I would say that person would bring leadership in rehearsals as well, would have a clear direction or a picture of what the worship leader wants, and will manage the time effectively, communicate with various like production people and vocalists, and just make the whole running of the rehearsal and the worship set smooth. That they're the point person that people look to.
Yeah. So often on a weekend we'd turn up, say, 2 hours early, 2.5 hours early. In the context of what we do at Hillsong, the music director would be involved in helping to run sound check with our technical director, monitor, engineer. The way that we do things is we sound check each individual instrument. Then we do our band check, get in-ear changes. We call our vocals up after that. We do a small vocal check where we play like one instrument and have the vocals sing in the PA. And then we do a song with the vocals to get vocal in-ear adjustments. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to our rehearsal. And then the music director actually really... Why don't we just chat maybe about what we actually do during rehearsal, working with the worship leader, kind of time managing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a worship leader will come in and go, "Oh, I've got this new song I want to bring." And do you spend the whole time in rehearsal on that? Here at Hills, we have to stick to timing a fair bit because it affects our door opening times.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important for the music director to have a big picture understanding of what the rehearsal needs and also what the service needs, obviously. But they're, like you mentioned, they're responsible for time management. So if you rock up at 6:30, like say 2.5 hours before our service time starts, we know we've got so anywhere between around 6:30 till about 8 o'clock to get all the different checks and ears checks and rehearsals done by. So you know, we've got kind of an understanding that, you know, a band check will take between 15, 20 minutes. A vocal check might take maybe 10 minutes, but then it's really up to us working with the worship leader to manage the rest of that time effectively. So if we've just got 4 songs that we've done a few times that everyone's comfortable with, then we can, you know, maybe spend more time on transitions or dynamics or what have you. But if we're learning a new song, then obviously we'd maybe spend more time on that. And making sure that the team and the vocalists and everyone is comfortable with the arrangements and it's strong, it's feeling good. And we'll just maybe skim over the other songs that we know. But it's really up to, I think it's up to the music director working with the worship leader to manage that time effectively.
I think it's evolved due to need.
Yep.
So most roles within our church have grown as our church has grown. Mm-hmm. So... we, as our church got in-ears and things like that, we realized the need for having a person on a microphone that could speak into everyone's ears. It went from just being in the band's ears to actually being in everyone on stage ears, so all of the worship leaders. That developed from some of our very large conference stages where we'd have someone out 20 meters away and you needed to get a message to them, or so it's just a key communication point on stage. Nowadays, our music director mic goes to front of house, it goes to the monitor engineer side of stage, it goes out to the television guys out the back, it goes to our communications, our comms guys on the side that are kind of calling the service and lighting rigs and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the key communication tool and link between offstage and onstage for every element within the service, pretty much.
So for an example, you mentioned the mic goes to all those people, and say after ministry or the worship leader calls, say, we want to do this song, we want to do this, I believe, or whatever, but we want to go from the second verse. What would you say? How would you communicate that to everyone?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the MD mic goes to our graphics operator the back. So if we were up playing, I'd say, we're going to be doing this, I believe, from the second verse. Graphics, can we make sure it's loaded? And then, normally our graphics team respond by putting it up on the back screen, and we know that they've received the information.
Yeah, and then you, like, you do it so well, you also communicate, like, who's going to lead the song? Can we make sure we have that in our ears?
Yes.
You know, that's, I think that's important, and that's one of the beauties of having the microphone. But there's a few things to think through right at, you know, in an instant.
Yeah. And even sometimes locally at the end of a service, say if we're getting one of our youth team up to lead a song, or we know we can preempt something's happening, we can get a message to our front of house engineer, because there's a person that can hear us up at the front of house desk. So we can go, hey, front of house, make sure we have so-and-so up in the mix, because they're going to be leading this song, and we've got that communication happening. Communication during the 20-minute set for us is normally fairly different every service. I'd say that no two services are the same. And a good music director is adaptable to whatever worship leader we're on with and whatever service we're in. So I think that some knowledge I've seen, you have to be quite assertive. Say if there's a worship leader that doesn't really know many musical arrangements or things, we'll have to maybe be a little bit more assertive. Or if there's someone, say, like Jad, who's one of our very senior worship leaders, we'll come and know exactly what he's doing and even maybe be instructing the band a little bit. We adapt. We're always there to serve.
Yeah.
So we adapt our leadership style to whatever is required. But during the 20-minute set, what sort of things would you be calling? What would you be looking out for during that time? Would you be speaking all the time into your mic? Do you pick times to speak? Speak into that a bit.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so assuming that the rehearsal has gone smoothly and everyone knows what they're doing.
Yes, good assumption to make.
Right. I would, as a starting point, as a bare minimum, I should say, the music director would at least count the songs in, okay? So if we're using tracks, which I'm sure we can talk more about later, but if we're using tracks, the cues are on the track, so we can pretty much rely on that for the arrangement of the song. But when we've gone live, then the music director will call sections of songs. If it's a well-known song, we'll just sort of let it roll on. But sections of songs, endings of songs, dynamics of songs. So like, say, okay, let's go big chorus or instrumental, keep it strong, or a strong ending. Just be clear with those sort of dynamics, or bring it down here. And then we can further upon that, building upon that, we can be communicating to individual instrument players, or like drummers especially, that are key for the dynamics. So we'll say, drummer, bring in the kick here on the two and the four, or build here, crack the one and build here. Those sort of things. But we try not to talk too much over the mic. Pick the moments when to talk. Like if someone is singing, the worship leader is singing, we're trying to talk over them. If someone is trying to wave us down with a mix change for their ears, we'll get their attention and say, yep, cool. and then wait for a break in the singing, and we'll get the monitor guys attention. We'll just, might just say monitors, and then maybe point to the person or say drums, we like guitar up, just really quickly, and try not to have a big long conversation.
Yeah, especially because we're in so many different people's ears, we're quite mindful of the airspace. And so we look for breaks, because often if you're trying to communicate something to a worship leader and they're singing, they're obviously going to be quite loud in their ears. So us saying double chorus when Jad's singing at the top of his lungs, he's not going to hear it. So we pick our moments of when we speak. Another thing that's probably pretty important is we don't really ask questions just because it requires a response. So often, again, everything that we do is through relationship. Nige and I work very closely with our worship leaders and our musicians, obviously, but we'll be asking prior to the service, talking through song lists, talking through transitions to where when we get there, we kind of know what's going on. But if we're approaching, say, a chorus, and I think that one of our worship leaders is going to want to do a double chorus, rather than saying, JD, would you like to do a double chorus? I'll just say double chorus. And I know that JD will turn around and signal something different if he would like something different. Otherwise, he'll just go with the call. So it's a quick way. You don't want the worship leader to feel like you're bossing them around, because we're always there to serve and we're always there to support the worship leader. So I don't want it to be misperceived that we're running the show, because we're not.
Yeah, but I think that, that highlights a point that you mentioned earlier about relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we've built this over time, that there's a good amount of trust between the worship leader and the music director. So when you make a decisive call, it's never to override the worship leader.
No, never. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll know that.
As in, yes, you're correct. But no, never.
Well, I mean, it's like when you say double chorus or repeat the chorus or whatever, regardless if that's what we rehearsed or not, you, like, the worship leader knows that you as the music director have the best in mind, best for the service, for the moment. It's not like trying to override something, or because they didn't make a call, you're making a call for the sake of everyone going in one direction, regardless if it's right or not. You know, like you said, if JD says he doesn't want to do a double chorus, he'll tell you.
But
it just saves him having to turn around and communicate with you, where he can just keep his eyes on the...
It saves him from disengaging with everyone to communicate with us.
Yeah.
Time management during the 20-minute set is another really key thing that we do as music directors. Often, say, if we're doing three or four songs, we have a new song at the moment that's called Open Heaven, and it's kind of a favorite in our church. It's quite a long song, and it can either be a 9-minute song or it can be a 4-minute song. And so, Nige, maybe chat us through, say, if we got to 17 minutes and our song Open Heaven was slated as song 4, which is this very long, beautiful song, what would be going on in your head, and how would you be executing things to where, if we're finishing at 20 minutes, we have 3 minutes to get the church to where they need to with a 9-minute song that we want to do in 3 minutes?
Okay, very good. Good question. And I think that highlights another role of the music director, to be always thinking ahead and having plan Bs and plan Cs and what have you. So my approach to that would be, well, obviously we need a bit of time to set the song up, okay? One of the first things I'd do is I'd count the song, and I would say, you know, whoever's the worship leader, I say, worship leader, watch your time. And then I'll quickly have a plan in my head, maybe the first verse, maybe we'll do the chorus, the building chorus. I say, let's verse, building chorus, with the tags straight into the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, and that will eliminate turnarounds, the song trying to gain traction over several minutes. I'll say, let's bring in the verse with a bit more drums. And so straight away, we're kind of like, we've progressed 2 minutes into the song.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and the worship leader's aware of the time, and then he or she will be like, okay, we'll hit the bridge, and they'll pretty much be stomping their foot and telling the band to pick it up. And
yeah.
By that time, everyone's on the same page, and we'll just try to get to the biggest part of the song quicker.
Yeah.
So,
When we work with our worship leaders, obviously because of such great relationship, normally they trust that we're doing a lot of the thinking of how arrangement-wise it could go.
Mm-hmm.
So quite often they'd leave it, say, to yourself to just call that, and mm-hmm. they would just turn around if it's different. But otherwise, if you've got a good plan for that,
mm-hmm.
They would just roll with your musical leadership on that to execute that well.
Yeah.
And that's something that works really well. One other thing that's good to mention in this forum is knowing the skill level of your musicians.
Brilliant. Yeah.
'Cause I think that for both of us, how much I speak or don't speak or lead is based on the skill level of the team.
Excellent. Yeah.
And sometimes you have drummers or guitarists or crew that may need actually more verbal cues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as a team, we've got to be able to sense that and know where we're at. Is there anything that you want to...
Oh, no, I think you covered it pretty well. But again, it's relationship, like you mentioned, knowing your team's strengths and their limitations. We never want to hang anyone out to dry.
Yeah.
We cover our guys well. And we'd hope by the time that they're playing on the platform that they've been well rehearsed and well screened, I guess.
Yeah.
But at every time, we're covering each other. So if I know our drummer can't do this crazy fill or whatever, or he's not sure of a part, I'm not going to ask him to do it at an exposed moment.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a better example than that. But like if I'm working with a new guitarist and he's unconfident of a line that's the identity of a song, and he's like, oh, I'm not sure, I'm not going to push him to do that. I'll just say, hey, I've got this one, or whatever, or vice versa. Strengths and limitations of your team.
Yeah.
I
think that it's you're kind of there to be a servant. So you're kind of there to bring out the best in everyone that's on the platform.
Mm.
And so whether you do that by a bit of leadership of playing, try it this way, let's play it that way. If someone's struggling with the part, simplify it. I think we kind of have a bit of an unspoken code that we watch what we say on the mic.
Mm.
So say, for instance, if someone's not quite cutting it, we'd be very careful in what conversations are had over the microphone,
yes,
knowing that it is going out to a lot of people, that microphone conversation. So sometimes I've seen you come off mic and have a conversation with a musician or a vocalist. And I just think that there's great wisdom in watching our words carefully and correct, understanding that we're...
You pick your moments, you pick your battles, whatever.
Yeah. And then being a key communication channel. So sometimes there's in-ear changes that need to happen, but it's our job to understand when that gets communicated.
Yeah.
So sometimes, I think maybe it's a little bit of a different topic, but understanding transitions and vulnerabilities within a service.
Yeah.
So there's been times where someone will want to be speaking off stage to one of us that maybe has missed that it's in between song 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And so they'll be in one of our ears trying to communicate something about church news that's happening a little bit later, and we're right in the middle of speaking about a transition or calling a different set, or someone turns around and their in-ears are acting up and you're going in between song 2 and 3. What would you kind of say to that? We kind of just ignore it for the moment and pick our moment to communicate. Hey.
Yeah. And I think like visually, I might just try to get their attention. If they're speaking to me, I'll just maybe put my hand up and I'll just like one moment.
Yeah.
I've
definitely seen you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it could be in a delicate moment where we're trying to craft something or make sure the transition goes smoothly. When the song's going, everything's good, I'll look at them. I'm like, tell them to just, what was that? What do you say again?
Yeah, right.
And also another thing, when it's really loud and it's like the song's cranking and someone's trying to talk to you, that's quite difficult as well. So I'll just like, again, tell them to just wait, pick your moments. And our guys are pretty good at that. But.
So if you find yourself in a setting where you don't have an MD mic and you just say have wedges or you have no way of proper communication to the band throughout the service, a lot more relies on your rehearsal, your communication, your set in the lead up to. So sometimes one thing that we do at church, which is very helpful, we call it a pre-rehearsal brief. So actually before we start the rehearsal, just after our sound check, we get everyone together and we chat through the set. That, in the context of Hillsong, includes our TV crew, our production crew, our lighting operator, and all of our platform team. And if you have a setting where you don't have a microphone, that's excellent because you can use that to chat through any of those key elements in the service and if you have any changes to arrangements. And then the second thing would be eye contact and body language. You're going to need to rely on those a lot more. It's maybe a little bit easier for a guitar player. Sometimes as a keyboard player, we've got both hands on a keyboard. It's a bit hard.
Yeah. I mean, I guess some of the guitar, you can sort of walk up to someone and tell them something if you need to. But no, I think that's, you pretty much covered it all. I think you need to be more visual, you know, with your movements. If you're going to call a chorus or if you're going to call an ending, you're going to have to just sort of wave your hand a little bit more and make sure everyone's watching.
Yeah.
And encourage your team to watch. Just be more aware of what's going on around you. And I think, like having in-ears is great and it helps out in so many ways, but sometimes you can tend to be in your own world a little bit. Mm. You put the both ears in and then you're kind of isolated, and I think it's more of a challenge. Like it's such a blessing, obviously. It's a great help, but it's also a challenge to stay connected with the environment around you.
Mm.
And I think not having ears, you can stay really well connected with the congregation and feel the room, but at the same time you need to be more aware of like transitions or moments that you're trying to create and not being able to communicate as easily besides yelling across the stage.
Yeah. And often in those settings, one of us will like mouth a count in.
Yeah.
Or probably one of the things that'll save you the most is identifying who's doing the count ins and who you're watching for the endings.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll say, watch the drummer for the count in.
Yeah.
Other times we'll say, watch me for the ending.
Yeah.
So that there's just distinct unity. And I think the less you can leave ambiguous in those settings and talk about it in advance. And then if something's not going to plan, always be watching, always make sure that everyone's watching the MD and watching the leadership. And then that'll save you from some crazy moments.
Yeah, it's just assigning a point person that takes leadership on the stage. I think you covered that really well.